Reading Srimad Bhagavatam 6, Canto, Chapter 11, The Transcendental Qualities of Vritasura. Text 25. Nana kapristam nacha paramistyam. Na sarva bhumam narasadipatyam. Na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va. Samanjasa tva virahaya kanksi. Na not. Na kapristam. The heavenly planets or Dhruva Loka. Na, nor. Cha, also. Paramestyam, the planet on which Lord Brahma resides. Na, nor. Sarvabhaumam, sovereignty of the whole earthly planetary system. Na, nor. Rasa adipatyam, sovereignty over the lower planetary systems. Na nor yoga siddhi, 8 kinds of mystic yogic power. Anima, lagima, mahima, etc. Apuna bhavam, liberation from rebirth in a material body. Va, or samanjasa, O source of all opportunities. Tva, you. Virahaya, being separated from. Kanksi, I desire. Translation, O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruva Loka, the heavenly planets or the planet where Lord Brahma resides, nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be the master of the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Purport. A pure devotee never desires to gain material opportunity by rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. A pure devotee desires only to engage in loving service to the Lord, in the constant association of the Lord and his eternal associate, as stated in the previous verse, Dasunu Dasu Bhavitasmi, as confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. Tandra Charanasi Vibhakti Sanavas Janama Janama Hoy E Abhilas. To serve the Lord and the servants of his servants in the association of devotees is the only objective of a pure, unalloyed devotee. So here Krishna is described as the source of all opportunities. And that is a fact. Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham riri sanivisto matasmitir gyanam apovanamscha vedaisa sarvare aham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. That I am in the heart of all living beings, and from me comes remembrance and forgetfulness. Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna helps us to remember him, and Krishna also helps us to forget him. So the opportunities are entirely in our hands. We can decide what we want to be. We can decide if we want to live like an animal, or if we want to live like a human being, or live like a demigod. That is entirely up to us, whether we want to be in the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, or the mode of goodness. Or go the path of pure transcendental devotional service. All these opportunities are simply there. So, never is there a moment that we do not have an opportunity. No one can say that they are exempt from devotional service. It is not possible. Now, having said that, I'll tell you a story which is a real life story. It is a bit of a tragedy. It is about, there was a family in Australia, devotees, and they were doing really well, and they were preparing for initiation, and it was about 1 month away. So they were approved, and everything was getting ready for the initiation. And then the lady got something, some meningitis, infection of the brain. And then they did some brain surgery, and unfortunately they made a mistake. And then after that, she had heavy brain damage. And then, next time I saw her, she was in a hospital bed, and she was she could not move anything. Not even her eyelids were moving. It was like, you know, usually people blink, but she was not blinking. And your eyes were just wide open and nothing. Just absolutely nothing. No action. Eyes were not moving. Eyes were just fixed. So it looked like really bad. I went into the hospital and I said a few things, but I wasn't sure if it was being registered, if she heard it. Anyway. But time went by, and yeah, she recovered a little bit, and they put her in some special hospital where they have some therapy, and they eventually learned to push little things on an iPad, and then a word comes, right? So they can point at some words, and it's very careful, you know, very simple communication becomes possible. And that improved even more, to the point where she can move her arms a bit. Now she can sort of move the eyes, the head a bit, and she can slowly type. That's it now. For the rest, sitting in, propped up in a wheelchair, they pay the husband to, government pays the husband to take care of her, and of a small child, which is, you know, now maybe 7. At the time, it was just a newborn child. So, and then she wrote me a message just before the festival, and I'm still supposed to answer to it. And the message is that I think that maybe Krishna forgot about me. I'm getting depressed. What to do? Yeah. What to do? So, I guess I have to write back that, no, Krishna is the source of all opportunities. Right? There is no condition when there is no opportunity. Maybe you cannot chant. At least not through the mouth. But you can chant in the mind. You can. You can do that. Maybe you can worship the Lord in the mind. Right? It is there in our scriptures. It is possible. It is possible in any condition to be Krishna conscious. Never can we say, I cannot. And it's always a challenge. It is, even if you have everything, then it's still a challenge. Even if your hand is in the beat bag, it's still hard to move the beats. It is still difficult to open the mouth and to speak the mantra. It's hard, isn't it? So somehow or other, because the mind is unwilling, We are, it's that. We are unwilling. We find a reason. Well, Prabhupada gave the example of an old lady in Bengal, and they told her at the end of her life to chant. To chant. And the lady goes, but, I'm dying. You know? And she says, Or kono katha bolte pare, which basically means, what more do you want me to say? So she could say all those words, Or kono katha bolte pare, but she could not say Hare Krishna. So, like this, because the mind is unwilling, because we are thoroughly attached to the material energy, we want to enjoy the material energy somehow or other. And even when we come to Krishna consciousness, generally we come to Krishna consciousness not because we are convinced that this is what I really want to do with my life. No, we do have some faith that it's true. I guess it's true. But there is something else, another reason why we're doing this, and that is parabhavastavat abhud jato na yigyasito atmatatvam. That we are parabhavas, we are defeated. We are defeated. We tried to make it materially. We tried hard. Didn't work. We tried to be a success. Only after being defeated, only after being a failure, can one actually come to the point where say, well, yeah, maybe this Krishna consciousness is right. If we would have been billionaires, right? We would like not be so eager now. We would be sort of, doing other things. Maybe give a donation at best. So, we see the demigods find it difficult to surrender to Krishna. So much service. So, we make arguments that spiritual life is difficult. We always find a reason to say it's difficult. It's difficult because I am too young. It's difficult because I have to study. It is difficult because I have to work. It is difficult because I have to cook. It is difficult because I have a house. It is difficult because we have a mouse. It is difficult. We find so many reasons to make it difficult. And we'll find a difficulty, whatever it is. It is difficult because I'm married. It is difficult because I'm not married. Right? It's difficult. It's just difficult. It is just difficult to take to Krishna consciousness. And then we blow up the excuse. Right? We make it bigger and bigger and bigger until we have a real big reason why we can't be Krishna conscious. And then, what can I do, Prabhu? What can I do? So this tendency is there in us. You know, it's not that that we're talking about anyone in particular. We're seeing that our mind is doing this. This is there, and somehow or other, one has to say no, no. Krishna is the source of all opportunities. Everything is possible. That's what you see in Prabhupada, right? Against the odds, 70 years old, tough. I'm approaching, I'm almost there. And these days I'm in New York, and Prabhupada at 70 to New York, and I begin to think, New York? Oh, forget it, New York. Not New York. But Prabhupada went alone, and he did it. And he... If there's one quality that we can appreciate in Srila Prabhupada is that he never missed an opportunity. Whenever there was an opportunity, he tried. In English to say, he left no stone unturned. You know, he tried every opportunity. Go and ask them to call this O'Hare Airport in Chicago O'Hare Krishna Airport. Ha ha ha, Prabhupada. That's a good joke. It wasn't a joke. It was serious. Go and ask them. You go. And that's who wants to go and ask that, you know? Not easy. But Prabhupada would just ask, would just try anything, try everyone, every moment. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amagyaya guru hai tare edesh. Whomever you meet, instruct them about Krishna upadesh. That is the, that is actually the key, somehow or other, to always, at all times, turn to Krishna. And then, Krishna will decide. Krishna has his plan. It is, we can think of a chessboard, and we are a pawn on the chessboard. So as a pawn on the chessboard, we can see the squares that are close to us. Oh, there's a horse coming. You can see that. Okay, watch out. There's a few squares around me. I can see. But I can see the horse is coming close, but I cannot oversee the whole board. I cannot oversee the whole game. I don't know. Krishna, he's the chess player. He is thinking seven moves ahead. He knows. Right? I only see the horse coming. Right? I cannot see more than the immediate circumstances that I am in my life. What is happening now? It looks bad. It looks good. But how do you know it's really bad? You never know. Prabhupada told the story about the king. The king who was in his royal court and playing with an arrow. And the arrow had a very sharp head. And as the king is playing with the arrow, he made a wrong move and he cut a little piece of his finger. Well, that was a national disaster. I mean, a piece cut off the royal finger. The whole kingdom had to like, you know, lament about the royal finger. And there was one minister. This minister, he said, Your Majesty, it was good. It was good. It happened for a reason. So then the king got really upset. So, it was good, huh? It was good that the royal finger got cut, huh? That was good. Well, you know, it is all good and it all happens for a reason. Well, then it will also be good if you will be in jail for a while. So, and next moment soldiers came and dragged the minister off and threw him in the dungeons. Well, and the king, after a few days, was thinking about his minister in the jail and thinking, good, it's good for him to be in the jail. Very good. Then the king went into the forest for some hunting, this and that. And when he was in the forest, he got caught by some dacoits. And these dacoits, they were worshipping Mahabhairava, which is a ghastly form of Durga. And they decided that they would offer the king to Mahabhairava for auspiciousness. And they were just getting him ready for the sacrifice with ornaments and so on. And then they saw a piece was missing from the finger. And if there's a piece missing, oh no, then it cannot be offered. No, 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 no. So then they told him, okay, you go, you go. So the king came back and he's thinking about his minister. And then he was back in the kingdom and he sat down on the throne and he called for the minister. He said, you were right. You were right. It was good. It was good that I cut that piece of my finger because it saved my life. It saved my life. Yes, Your Majesty. But one thing I don't understand, why it was good that you were in jail. You were right and you were put in jail. How is that good? The minister said, that was very good, Your Majesty. Otherwise, I would have been with you on the hunting king, and then after they would let you go, they would have sacrificed me. So it was very good I was in jail. So in this way, Krishna can see so many moves ahead. We cannot. So we think good and bad. This is good, this is bad. But maybe what is bad later turns out to be good. Like in the case of Vritasura. Vritasura in his last life was Chitraketu. And Chitraketu was a devotee, and Chitraketu was a great devotee, and he got a plane from the Lord, a celestial Vimana. And with that plane he could fly to higher planetary systems, and he's doing so, and one time he comes in a situation where Lord Shiva is naked, his wife Parvati also naked, seated on his lap and surrounded by sages. So, you know, then Chitraketu says, how amazing that Lord Shiva can sit like this in an assembly of sages. Now, he didn't mean anything negative by that. He just said, how amazing that this is possible. But Parvati didn't like it. Oh, you are criticizing Lord Shiva. Then, you're not acting like a devotee. You are critical in the mood of a demon. Then you'll be a demon. Da-da-da-da. Cursed. And next moment, Vritasura appears on stage. Right. There is a sacrifice going on. A long story, but Indra had killed a Brahmana, because the Brahmana had previously, well, I can tell the whole story. Indra basically had become proud, being glorified all the time. It's tough when everyone around you says, oh Indra, oh Indra, oh Indra, you are so wonderful. Oh Maharaj, your kirtan was so transcendental. Oh Maharaj, Maharaj, we are so fortunate, Maharaj. Oh Maharaj, let us bow down to you. Oh Maharaj, that was very deep what you said. Oh Maharaj, please accept a donation. Oh Maharaj, can we cook for you? Oh Maharaj. So Indra had a problem that he was getting a little bit proud. And as a result, Indra, when his spiritual master came, Indra did not come down from the throne. He did not offer respect, because just at that time they were saying, oh Indra, oh Indra, so what to do? That is my position. I'm Indra. Well, I mean, I have to accept this glorification. It's my duty. I am Maharaj. I have to accept it that people bow down to me. And it's normal. After all, I am Maharaj. Yes. So like this, Indra became proud, neglected his spiritual master. Then there were big problems, because the demons, they were actually gaining in power over the demigods. So what to do now? So there was certainly, no one was offering oblations on behalf of the demigods, so there was a need. So then, there was a Brahmana who could do it, but he was actually the priest of the demons. Anyway, Indra spoke to him, and said, like, you know, promotion, heavenly planets, you know, better job, you can, you know, I mean, I'll pay you more. So the Brahmana said, all right, sounds good, I'll take the job. And he became the priest for the demigods. But then the demons sort of started talking to him and said, look, you know, like, now we're in trouble. And finally, because of old relationships, he said, okay, what I'll do is I'll do some little puja on the side for you as well. In this way, he's doing double puja. Ooh, double agent. When Indra found out that he was also making oblations on behalf of the demons, he became so angry, he killed him. Then Indra got the reactions for killing a Brahmana, which was a complication, because that reaction was an old lady with tuberculosis, who was coughing, and there was blood on his clothes, and as she was coughing, she was running after him, which scared Indra, which I can understand it would scare anybody. I have experience. I have once visited a devotee in a tuberculosis hospital, and it was a special hospital for people with tuberculosis in India. So it was summertime, 45 degrees or more, and I'm in this hospital and I'm covering my mouth. It's like everyone is like coughing like anything. Then I come in the room of the devotee. He had a hole in his sight, and they put a pipe in there attached to a bottle to collect the pus. Yes. And then he pulled it out of the hole, the pipe, and he coughed, and the noise came out of the hole. I go like, this is bad. Then he goes, it was 47 degrees. He goes, you want some water? And I go, no, I'm not thirsty. You know, at 47, you're dying of thirst. But I was like, forget it, you know. I'm doing a near-jaw fast. I mean, ooh, I was scared of this tuberculosis. Ooh. So I can sympathize with Indra for various reasons. You know, one is that they always glorified him, and the other one is that he was afraid of tuberculosis. So Indra then eventually distributed these sinful reactions. We know, you know, the earth, that ditches would fill with water, but in exchange there would be deserts, and even the ladies, they got some benediction that they could even enjoy lusty pastimes during pregnancy, but then in exchange they got the monthly 3 days off the altar and all these things, which is a complication, obviously. Anyway, that's all Bhagavatam. What can we say? So Indra got away with it. He had killed this Brahmana, but he had distributed the sinful reactions, and everything was fine. So then the father, Tvastha, was really upset, and he did a sacrifice, a huge sacrifice, to create a demon that would destroy Indra. But then, in the course of chanting the mantras, he made one mistake, and instead of a short A, he chanted a long A. And as a result, he created a demon that would be killed by Indra. And then the Supreme Lord arranged that Vritasuras, that Chitraketu had been cursed, could become that demon. And he was enormous, with copper hair up to the sky and a huge mouth, and everyone was running away, and including Indra was looking at him and like going like, everyone was saying, okay, Indra, you are the ruler, you go fight with him. And he'd go, me? How can I fight with him? You know, it's like enormous, right? But anyway, everyone pushed him, so Indra had to do it. But he was very scared. And it came to a point where Vritasura said, no, you can kill me. You can do it. Your thunderbolt actually can kill me. You can do it. Use it. It will do it. Because Vritasura was not attached to his body. Vritasura was completely transcendental. Indra was attached. He was pious, an agent of the Lord, but attached. Attached to his position, didn't want to lose it. We've got it good, and this demon is coming here, and what do we do now? We got to do something, because he's disturbing our heavenly pleasures. And yes, we are worshipping the Lord and enjoying heavenly pleasures. We are devotees, and we've got it good. It's a good life in goodness. My goodness. Oh yes, I love my goodness. Oh, my goodness is good. Goody good. Oh, it's so good. I love my goodness. Oh, yes. Indra is attached to goodness. I made a little analogy, which, you know, once upon a time there were people living in a desert in an oasis. It was the oasis of sense gratification in the middle of the desert of material existence. And yes, you know what it's like in an oasis. There's not a lot of things to enjoy. It's all, but there's camel milk and some dates. And you can make camel milk date shake. You can make camel milk date burfi. Camel milk date preparations. You know, like, yay. So, like that, there was some variety. But after a while, everyone goes like, yeah. You know, it's like, would you want a camel milk shake? Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Eh, it's all right. You know. Okay. Would you like a camel milk pancake? With what? With dates. Nah, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, we had that last week. So at one point in the oasis of sense gratification, it's always the same thing. You know, same thing again and again. And one day, I mean, you know, you want to come. Nah, it's okay. You know, I'll just stay home. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I am bored. That is the situation. One day a stranger comes in this oasis and he brings fruits, new fruits. Hey, mangoes, you know, best quality. Whoa, this is good. We've never had this. Where did you get this? Oh, this comes from far away, from a green land where everything is just lush and beautiful and there are floods and rivers and waterfalls. And it's like, come on, there is no land like that, you know. I mean, this guy is just telling stories. Most people didn't believe it, but some said, no, the fruits are good. Finally, some people have faith, and they say, okay. The stranger says, who wants to come to the green land? Both, ho. No, we can't go. But some people, they are ready to try. But then it goes. You go on the journey. And you have to leave the oasis of sense gratification. And you go into the desert and the hot sun of lust burns on your head. And now, this is too much. Some go crazy. Some go back. Some just run off into the desert. Never to be seen again. In this way, you take to spiritual life, but you have to cross the desert of austerity. This is difficult. But then those who persevere, one day they see it at the horizon. Water. Is it a Fata Morgana? No, it's not. It's real water. It's the oasis of goodness. Oh, it's so good. Now, in the beginning, in the oasis of sense gratification, we were enjoying material life. But now we're enjoying spiritual life. Oh, I enjoy my spiritual life so much. It's a very, very nice spiritual life. Even my cat is a vegetarian. Yes. Oh, yes. And everything's so nice. We give maha water to the plants. Yes. It's so transcendental. And everything is so nice. And we are so happy in our little Krishna house. Oh, yes. Everything is so sweet. And we'll just stay here forever because life is goody good. Now we're enjoying spiritual life. Oh, yes. No, I cannot imagine to start the day without a bath. No. Now I'm enjoying the mode of goodness. Oh, yes. All that passion, all that ignorance. No, I don't like that anymore. Now I like the mode of goodness. And everyone said, We'll stay here in this oasis. No, the stranger said. We can't stay here. We must go out into the desert. Out into the desert? I mean, are you crazy? It's good here. This is the oasis of goodness. Good place. We stay here. No, we must go out into the desert to save all those people that get lost in this desert. Now we have to do that. Go back into the desert. More austerity, more hot sun, forget it. No water, no. But when we do go back into the desert, to this time, not to enjoy, but to deliver the conditioned souls, then after some time, the landscape starts to change and it gets greener and greener and greener. And then, you know, maybe not yet the fruits from the spiritual, but some fruits are there. Not perfection, but some fruits start to come. And in this way, we see how spiritual life evolves. So, therefore the mode of goodness is not good enough. It's not good enough. Because there's still the enjoying spirit. And that was the issue with Indra. He still had the enjoying spirit, although he was in the mode of goodness, although he recognized the Supreme Lord, although he was serving the Supreme Lord. But Vritasura was completely transcendental. He was even ready to sacrifice that body. Somehow or other, it was his duty to be the enemy of Indra. He said, all right, then I'll be that. Then I'll fight Indra. Since, you know, that is my duty. I'll fight. Right? I'll give it my best. But Indra can defeat me because he's been given this thunderbolt by the Supreme Lord. And that weapon rules in the universe. So even a demon cannot stand up. Indra has been given that power with his thunderbolt. So finally Indra used it. It took him 365 days with the thunderbolt to cut the head of Vritasura. He had a somewhat hard neck. Wasn't too easy. But Vritasura was never afraid to die, because Vritasura never for a moment identified with his body. Vritasura was completely on the transcendental platform and seeing himself as an eternal spirit soul in an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that's all he cared about. Nothing else was important. So in this way, in this pastime of Vritasura, when we're looking at the Supreme Lord as the source of all opportunities, we only want the transcendental opportunities and not all the other opportunities. All the opportunities for sense gratification. You are a young boy. You are handsome. And there is a young girl. And she's beautiful. And she's just the right age, really. Just the right age for you. And you know it, and she knows it. Without speaking, you look at each other, and you know it. You know it. Oh, yes. It doesn't need any words. Immediately, both of you know it. And you can see, as you look in her eyes, you see that she knows it. Oh my God, what are you going to do? When I was temple president, one brahmachari comes into my office in India, in Vrindavan. He says, Prabhu, I have a complaint. I said, all right, what is it? He says, I have a complaint. This Mataji, she's looking at me all the time. I said, if you know that she's looking at you all the time, then you must be looking at her all the time as well. No. You don't understand. I said, I understand very well. Yes. Then he says, no. You don't understand. It means that she loves me. I told him, get out of here. This is too much. Get out of here. So now what to do? So, oh young man, oh young handsome prince, what do you do when the princess comes? Very easy. Just engage her in devotional service. I have thought about this. I'm a sannyasi, right? So I'm mentally prepared for anything. I've thought about it. So I thought, imagine. One day I was imagining. Imagine there will be the bomb, the big world war, and somehow or other, I'm a survivor. And I'm walking alone in the world. And then I meet this lady. And then she's also a survivor. Just the two of us. And then she says to me, now we are like Adam and Eve. Now we have to repopulate the entire world. And I will say, Hare Krishna Mataji. Right? And I'll put her in the Bhaktin program. I'll teach her to chant Hare Krishna and the whole thing, everything, you know. That's the plan. Right? So somehow or other, we Vitasura had that very transcendental vision, and that's what it's about. The only difference between Vitasura and Indra is vision. Indra is attached to Krishna, to Vishnu. He is attached. Indra is a devotee, but he's attached to the mode of goodness. He doesn't have the spirit of sacrifice. He wants a comfortable spiritual life. He's looking for a niche, a nice little niche, a little corner, very, very spiritual, very, very nice. Oh yes, my spiritual life is a very, very, very nice life. No. Spiritual life requires sacrifice. That sacrifice has to be made. The sacrifice for the benefit of others. Look at Prabhupada. Nicely, comfortably situated in the best place. Vrindavan. Vraj bhumi. Oh, vraj duli. The dust of Vrindavan. Radhe, radhe. Radhe, radhe. Mahaprasadam. Nice darshan. You know. Oh, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Yamuna Maya. Oh, so nice. Oh, let's go to Vrindavan. What are we doing here? Right? Oh. Yeah, such an amazing place. Just there. And Prabhupada left. To Delhi. Heli Delhi. Huh? Why would you go to Heli Delhi? You've been in that place in old Delhi, what's it called, that place? Chippiwada. You been to Chippiwada? You go to Chippiwada, it's in the heart of like old Delhi, of Chandni Chowk area, and you go to all these gullies and there are endless electric cables. So many cables and very narrow, and it's just full of people, and it's like a little claustrophobic. You know, you feel like you're locked in. I want to get out of here. I want to see the sky. Not in Chippiwada. And Prabhupada was there. Instead of in Vrindavan, Parikram Mark. He's there for the sake of preaching. Sacrifice. But that's really the key. And that is Vitasura. He has that spirit of sacrificing. He sees, what is my duty? Somehow or other, everyone is in a different position in spiritual life. And somehow or other, everyone has a duty. Everyone has a role to play in this movement. It's not the same for all of us. And over time, you have to find it. Spiritual master may tell you, he may not tell you, but somehow or other, we have a sacrifice to make. We can see, Different devotees took different services. Yadubar was working for Time magazine, John Greaser, right? And he came to interview Prabhupada and film him and so on. And then, as he did it, he got attached to it. And he just kept on doing it. And he spent his whole life filming Prabhupada. Right? And he made that Prabhupada movie recently, which I hope you have seen, and I hope you have appreciated. And now I want you to take that movie and to at least take 10 copies of it, buy them, and give them to people. And if you can get 100 copies of this, you can make copies of this film, distribute it, so that the whole world knows about Prabhupada, right, somehow or other. That's what he was meant to do, to spread the fame of Prabhupada. That's his role. Everyone should have a role. Like Ananta is the temple president, and maybe sometimes he thinks, I want to retire. Forget it, Ananta. You just have to be the temple president. That's it. There's no retirement. Not for a long, long time. Because then things will flourish. One president, 1 year, other president, 2 years, next president, 3 years, then again. Then always change. Everything, you know, like oftentimes you see, when a new manager comes and there's the office, on the first day, he moves the desk to the other side of the office. Then you know. Now everything's gonna change. No. We need consistency. We need to just, like Harinam Ruchi, you know, sometimes Mahavishnu Swami is joining Harinam Ruchi. He is 76 or something like that. And he still goes. So this Vishnu Jan has to also go at least till 76. After that, you can talk to me again. But, you know, if I'm still around to talk to, you know. And if you can't talk to me, then you have to just go on. Right? Finished, you know. Just carry on. Don't stop. Right? Find some excuse to stop. There's always an excuse. Somehow or other. Carry on. And if we just somehow or other carry on, and, you know, In South Africa, they made a song and said, there ain't no kirtan party like a kirtan party, and a kirtan party no stop. Kirtans don't stop. It can't stop. So that's where we become glorious. We just embrace a service and develop it, and just in a spirit of sacrifice. And Vritsasura had that spirit of just doing what he was meant to do. And he didn't get mental about it. And Vritasura somehow or other knew that he was supposed to be killed by Indra, so he could have also said, well, I'm not fighting with Indra, forget it. I'm not going to fight with Indra because he's going to kill me. You know? I don't fight a fight when I'm going to lose. Right? You know, it's like, you know, you only fight fights when you're going to win. Normally, but not Vritasura. It was destiny, he was ready. So let us also really think, what can I contribute? What can I contribute to the Sankirtan movement? What part can I play in this yajna? I mean, time is short. What can I do to make a difference in the world? Something. Whatever it is. Let us not just be devotees. Right? That's my point. That's the mode of goodness. I'm a devotee. I'm a member of the... Here's my card. Hare Krishna movement. Yay. I'm part of it. Not good enough. No. What are we going to do with whatever Krishna gave us to make a difference in the world? That is the question. And that's my question to you. And just before breakfast, I want to leave you with that question. Please don't get indigestion. What are we going to do to make a difference in this world? What can we do? Well, I'm waiting for my spiritual master to tell me, and he's exhausted. He has to think about everybody. What can they do? What can they possibly do? And what can that one do? And what can that one do? And he's all day long thinking what other people can do. And sort of. And then the spiritual master had a brilliant idea. And he said, you know what you can, what can I do for you? You know what you can do for me? You can think of what you can do to make a difference in this world. That would be really good. Okay, I'll stop now. Any questions? Any comments? Yes.
Maharaj, in these past times, I love so much this situation of Dadish, you know, this sage that give the bones for make the thunder and Vishnu entry to this thunder. And Vitrasura, some text before is saying this, no? You have all the power of Lord Narayan in this thunder and all the austerities bones of this sage Dadish, no? And when Indra comes to Dadishi, Dadishi start playing with the demigods, no? And he say, why I give you my body? If each person in this world wanna live so much, wanna have a big life, why I give you my bones, my body for make you this? What is the purpose? And Prabhupada in this chapter say the same, no? Like, if you are not ready for give your body for others, you are losing your Krishna consciousness, no? But my question in some point is, for example, we are trying to make the best, no? To give our body for the movement, no? And I feel little like bad because I'm not a good, like, example, no? Like,
why?
Like good devotee, no? And I feel me, if I'm not devotee, why I can't give to others something that I do not have? For example, I cannot follow completely the principles, no? And it's too much years. And why I go to the street and I say, please, change your life if I still cannot change, if it's so hard for me, no?
Okay. Well, you have to bring some goodness in your life. And you have to invest in the mornings. Rise early and have a strong morning program. Chant good japa. Read more in the Bhagavatam. Get absorbed. And that will drive out this mode of passion and ignorance, which is sometimes still weighing us down, right? And makes it hard to follow things. Tadara jastamo bhavo kamalobadiyas chaye matevidi tanvidi stittam satvapasidati. So, in that way you become fixed in the mode of goodness and the influence of passion and ignorance will disappear. Then you will be able to follow. But it is also a matter of a decision. You can take a decision now. Like you can say right now. You can look at me and stop instead of writing. Straight in the eyes. And just do it. Finished. It's over. You're not going to do this nonsense. Only four regulated principles. Finished. Don't allow yourself to go outside of them anymore. It's a choice. You're not a victim. You're doing it. And if you decide, I will follow these principles now, you will. Now. Surrender now. Right now. Not mañana. It is this mañana problem. Mañana I will be a pure devotee. No. now. Now try to be a pure devotee. If you try now to be a pure devotee, you will be pure. And you'll become more pure day by day. Now. Surrender. That's all. Plan B, cultivate the mode of goodness.
You're talking about how we should think for ourselves to realize, to try to realize what Krishna wants for us to do. But at the same time, there are these expectations from other older devotees for us. You know, they come up to us and they look at our lives and they say, oh, I think you should do this and you should do that. So how to deal with that?
Yeah, they do it to me also. I was just going to write books, you know, and I'm writing a novel, and it's pretty good. I can tell juicy stories. It's a good story, and you would like to read it, I'm sure, once it's ready. And I was just going to sit down and write it. Then these older devotees, they said, "Go to New York." New York. So now I'm trying to do both. I'm trying to find a way to do both. I do what the older devotees ask, but I'm also trying to do the other thing. That's the plan. And I try to keep some space so that I can also do that thing which I really want to do and really think I should do. I don't just forget about it. And it will come out. It will emerge. Don't worry. Meanwhile, yeah, you also have to please the Vaishnavas. Tough, isn't it? And that's a good reason to say, now I found something that makes it impossible. You've just found it. The reason, the perfect excuse. I wanted to do it, Maharaj, but then I couldn't. No. You have to do both. But that's very difficult. Who said it was going to be easy? It's not. If you thought it was going to be easy, Prabhupada showed it's not going to be easy, but he did it. Yeah. And he wrote his books and he went to New York and he did it all at the same time. I say, yeah, but I'm not Prabhupada. Well, I better start to get it together. So last few days I was working on books here in the. So you got to find some time to do that thing. And please the senior devotees, at least to an extent. But make a sacrifice. And some people are just a surrendered soul, the whole life. They just do everything, only what the senior devotees want. That's also a choice. I'm going to be a surrendered soul. You got to wear a t-shirt, you know. You know, you can buy a t-shirt, surrendered soul. You can buy a t-shirt, grumpy. You can buy a t-shirt, you know, mismind, or, you know, misdetermination, like that. You can choose a t-shirt and wear it. More? No. Then we are finished. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Was very nice to be with you again, and leaving today and seeing you again for Jamastami. Hare Krishna.